This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
And my guest tonight on Bent Notes is the chairperson and co-artistic director of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, a festival in its 21st year this year.
Is it that is right, indeed. It is a bit scary when you think about that, isn't it?
It is indeed. Sonia Horbelt, welcome back to Joy.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for supporting us and lots of musicians in Melbourne, David. Really amazing and fantastic for us to have support and to get original Australian music out there.
It's so important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important, especially now, you know, in a time of downloading and all that kind of electronic stuff that, you know, people create that. Those people have a lot, it's their livelihood, and it's, you know, music's like it's a contact sport, if you like. It's live is, you know, really spectacular. There's so many recorded versions and, you know, forms of recorded music, but, you know, there's something special about watching people actually communicate and things happening brand new in front of you live. You know, it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible form of communication.
I played a piece of music earlier in the show from Trio Elf from Germany. They were up at Wangerata Festival. Yep. Beautiful piece called 746.
Yeah.
Had nothing on the live show up in Wangerata last week where they were in both the theatre and the St. Pat's Hall were packed out, and it's so much more interesting to be there, to watch, to hear, to just get the energy from the band players you get when you're in live.
Yeah, and you know, the musicians don't actually necessarily know what's going to happen live either, you know, and that's the amazing thing. That's the most extraordinary thing about, and particularly in jazz, you know, communicating the now, where, you know, something can trigger something that's never happened before. And as an audience member, you know, you get to share that. You experience it, and you experience the interaction and the incredible energy that comes from something like that.
We've just had the Wangerata Festival of Jazz and Blues. Stonington Festival was on earlier in the year, which is a 100% Australian jazz festival. Yeah. The Melbourne Women's International Festival is coming up very shortly, 2nd of December, I think.
December 2 to 9.
So it's one full week of shows, one full week of women's jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, and particularly, it's a really current and topical thing in our industry at the moment, but we've always been about showcasing female artists and their original music in Australia and overseas for that matter, and giving them the opportunity and a platform to launch recordings, new projects, for young emerging artists to get their foot in the door, for older artists to premiere a new group. You know, like, you know, jazz is like acting and all those other industries where women suddenly disappear. And particularly, I have to say, I know a lot of female singers who are older and just go, I just can't do it anymore. You know, the opportunities aren't there. It's too hard. And, you know, when such a rich resource in our community. There's some amazing, you know, and not just singers, but, you know, it's our chance to give women, as I said, a platform to try new things, to launch something, to get something off the ground so that they can then take the next step and apply for funding for a recording or a tour, a local tour, an international tour. That's what we're all about.
And it is so important to get that exposure, because without getting exposure, whether it be on radio or through something such as the festival that gets a bit of PR around the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
People don't know about these musicians.
Yeah, and, you know, like, that's not to say that all these musicians are working every week somewhere in Melbourne, but as a festival we try and use that environment to launch things or to play things that aren't necessarily the everyday run of the, you know, regular kind of gig that you can go out and see, like a residency that's, you know, Wednesdays in September or whatever. So, you know, we've got a couple of CD launches. Jam Jar are launching their CD. Harriet Allcroft is launching her CD.
Harriet is such fun.
I know. Liuka are launching their single. We've got some premieres. Femme is actually premiering this new incredible, it's like a world premiere of this incredible new band, Conchairs.
Femme's part of the festival sounds rather interesting.
It's very, very hip, very new sound, very about experience and politically edgier. We had a conversation, we were chatting earlier in the year when Terry Lynn Carrington came out for the festival and we bumped into each
Terry
other.
Terry Lynn is rather socially aware
and the
too.
Band that she came out with was just extraordinary. Like it was just, it was, you know, festival kind of stuff, you know. We were chatting at that and she was telling me how she was writing this body of new original work, really excited about it, how it was edgy. And I guess that's the role of our festival. We talked about the possibility of launching that group at the festival and for it to be a target to it. It often artists need a target or a deadline to actually get projects off the ground. I remember Emma
Not
Gilmartin.
Not just artists. Yeah. Everyone needs a deadline.
But I remember Emma Gilmartin had, you know, three boys under the age of eight. I mean, fancy trying to get out to a jazz gig with three boys under the age of eight. And I booked her to launch her CD and she said if I hadn't had that deadline, it would never have happened. So, you know, we're about, and particularly mothers, you know, women who are mothers in the industry and find it difficult to, you know, get a springboard to get back into the industry. I think it's really important.
Really important indeed. Now, the work that Femme's doing, she's got, who's she got? She's got Angela Davis, Chelsea Allen on the drums, Tamara Murphy on the bass, Mina Yu on the piano, Femme herself on the vocals and the electric violin.
Yeah.
And it's being described as Australian, South African and Korean combination.
Yeah. Well, Femme's got a background from South Africa. And that's very much a part of her, just her conversation and her life experience too. Mina's just recently come here from Korea. You know, the other guys in the band are just fantastic musicians. It's really edgy. It's exciting. We're really proud to be able to support it.
And it's great that we have the opportunity to get these types of new combinations up. Just comparing back to Wang, there's so many combinations at Wang this year. You're continuing that with the Melbourne Women's International Festival, which is
Claire Cross is premiering her new group, Moving Targets. They've just done a little bit of recording and they have done a couple of gigs, but, you know, we're really proud to be able to support them in the festival this year.
Let's have a little bit more chat about that shortly.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Sonia, your chairperson and co-artistic director, who's the other co-artistic?
Lynette Irwin, who is Brisbane-based, but Lynette's been responsible for a lot of fantastic Australian artists presenting their works across Australia and internationally. Between us, she has a company called Pinnacles, which is used to produce festivals in Brisbane. She books a lot of things for Brisbane Festival. She's helping, Pinnacles is co-presenting with us the Marinda Diaz-Giacina trio down here at the Jazz Lab. That's on a double bill with Claire Cross's band Moving Target. That is a killer gig. Come and see that gig. Well, come and see all of them, but, you know.
They're all well worth.
Incredibly fantastic woman, really supportive of women across the industry, you know, is responsible for so many fantastic female artists come out. You know, managed a band that I was in the 90s. I remember I was at Wangaratta playing with Morgana, which was the group that Fiona Burnett put together. It's pretty much one of the first significant female quintets that I remember at the time, and it's only now that I look back that I realise how significant that group was. But Lynette came up to us, we'd never met her before, didn't know who she was, and came up to us at Wang and said, I want to manage you. And that was, you know, the start of all of that. So
that is amazing.
But yeah, that's who the other person is. Very experienced festival director, brings a lot of artists that are, and when we tour artists as we have in the past from Canada and wherever, Europe, we often tour them Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and sometimes they go to New Zealand, and Lynette's very much got that in hand, so we're a team.
Lots of phone calls backwards and forwards, no doubt.
Oh, yeah,
phone calls,
email, text. Yep. I hate that Brisbane is an hour behind. What is that,
is
East Coast Australia?
Yes, I like our time much better.
Yeah, me too.
What's involved in managing and artistically directing a festival of this nature?
I guess, you know, first of all, it's money and it's funding. It's trying to source some funds. It's trying to put together a festival that's balanced, that can also balance the books, but that challenges artistically, that is representative of what's happening in the scene, that gives new artists opportunities. We try and put out what's really happening in the scene, and also just give people opportunities that aren't necessarily easily happen. I think particularly for some of those, you know, our funding goes up and down depending on what's happening. But in the years where we've had some significant funding, we've been able to put together some ensembles or recordings or whatever that couldn't happen without that funding. So that's really exciting to be responsible for new work and those kind of things. And then it's everything else. It's the publicity, the printing, the website, the booking the artists, the juggling who plays when, the, oh no, actually my CD won't be ready, we can't play in the festival. Thank you.
That's anyway. A challenge.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Well, it's such a juggle at the moment, and the artists are, you know, all of our artists are across the board generous. They're really fantastic musicians and they're very supportive of each other, and they're, you know, they're co-musicians. There are some really exciting works being produced. So, you know, we're all on board as a team to get it out there.
Do you have problems getting enough women to participate in the festival?
It's always an interesting quandary. I am a really firm believer that people should be able to play with the musician of their choice, especially when it's original music, and that's one of the chief things that we are supporting. In past years, there is no way our quota is more than 50% women. And, you know, our funding requests that we, from APRA, that we, who are, I have to thank, incredible sponsor, have always sponsored us. They are just the most fantastic supportive organisation. But they now require 40-40-20 balance of gender across their grants. And, you know, understandably, but problematically, how can you choose that kind of balance if there isn't the pool to choose from? If the pool of musicians available is not 50-50, then the chances of it being that won't happen. You know, if it's 80-20, which, you know, sometimes it really feels like it is, then of course that's reflected in the balance of players that people choose. So the problem's not so much how many women can you get in, it's how do we make our overall pool of musicians, how do we make our workplace look equal? You know, when you look on stage, is it 50-50? And that comes down to who's available and who's not. And it's more about generating musicians to help balance that, and how do we address that? That's the key problematic thing for us all, I think.
Do you see young women coming through the jazz schools and colleges around the place?
To a degree, yes, but that's been incredibly slow. And when I look at pop, it's much more prevalent in pop at the moment. And interestingly, I went to a roundtable a few weeks ago as part of the Darabin Festival that was talking about contemporary music and gender. Interestingly, I found, you know, I thought contemporary, well, jazz musicians are probably the most contemporary people. They play in opera, they play for comedians, they play on jingles, they play in the studio, they play for rock people, they play Bye Bye Blackbird, they're, you know, across a whole lot of things. But it was all rock and punk. They're the only kind of musicians, and their dialogue and the things they talked about were so different to the things that happen in our sector. I think key sort of secondary, late primary and early secondary school kind of years are the most formative, and that's what we need to target. I think that's where tertiary's too late. I think by the time you get to the tertiary institutions, it's too late to change things. So I think that wave of new musicians has to come at a much earlier
younger,
age.
Earlier age.
Absolutely.
Where at the moment the focus is probably on pop type stuff around the...
And also it's the same. You can't be what you can't see. And if that balance is still 80-20, then, you know, that is reflected in who signs up for it. And until we find a way to address that, it's going to remain the same, or it's going to take a long time to change.
Well, the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, the name it in itself says a lot.
Yeah.
And as that brand is seen around the place and heard around the place, It must have an effect.
I do know that I get a lot of people asking me about the festival and submitting, you know, bios and asking to be part of the festival. And so then again, it's a challenge to present a balanced program that maintains our artistic integrity and in turn passes that value on to the artists who perform in the festival, so that when they take things to the next step, it's really valuable that they've played in our festival, because it gives them currency. I mean, that's really important for us, to give them value to take whatever their project is to the next step. The whole gender debate is a very current and, you know, problematic. There's so
indeed
many different sides to it. So
we've got a piece of music you've brought in called Great Premonition.
Yes.
Tell us about
it. Yes. One of the great projects that we're launching the CD from the group Jam Jar, and this is Ellie Lamb, terrific young trombonist coming through. This is her song Premonition. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Thank you for tuning in to listen to us tonight. Hello, Rex. Leah, Rex is telling us we've got something in a message form. What have we got?
Yes, we do. We've received a question, actually.
Okay, what have we got?
A question in regards to women in, obviously, jazz and referencing Esperanza Spalding as being a great role model for women to be involved.
Yeah.
But the question that they would like to ask is, research is suggesting that jazz music sometimes usually confirms to masculine stereotypes, and with more women involved, is this going to change?
That's a good question.
Was it jazz music? Tell me again in that question.
Yeah,
research suggests
that jazz music sometimes conforms to male stereotypes.
You know, I think jazz musicians are amongst the most versatile musicians that we have. You know, when I look at our jazz community here in Melbourne, across the board, it's like I said, they play in everything. I went and saw Lorelei this week, Victorian Opera, Casey Bonetto and Gillian Cosgrove, lyrics, music, incredible, and five jazz musos in the pit, you know. And then you'll go to the shows and you'll see jazz musicians there. You'll go, you know, Claire Cross plays in OPEP, the pop band. You'll see the Spire Ensemble backing the likes of Kate Sobrano in a more pop context, Jen Cloa. I think the question of what is jazz for a start? And I think traditionally, perhaps those older stereotypes referred to an older style of jazz, particularly, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, where it was male dominant and it was often a very strong and, you know, bebop certainly an aggressive style of jazz, but I think jazz has become so fluid now. I think to say that it has a masculine identity now is difficult. You know, I think it's much more fluid than that, and harder to identify as, you know, being in stylistic. You know, one of the most beautiful things that I've ever heard was a piece that I was just listening to it the other week. Chris Hale on his album with Will DeMatteiner and the late Will Poskett wrote these incredibly beautiful tunes that to sound totally feminine to me. You know, and that's three guys in the band. So I think, again, it's difficult to pin that down and say that it will change. I think jazz has been changing and evolving every decade for, you know, a century. And I think that's not just a gender thing. That's the different, that's electronics, that's, you know, snarky puppy, that's
different cultures now,
yes,
combining.
Absolutely.
Where once upon a time,
absolutely.
You would have never thought of doing that.
You know, there are so many influences in jazz. I think it's an exciting path, and I absolutely think it's going to change, and I don't think that's just the feminine about it. I think it's the world, you know.
It's just the general
evolution.
It's such an evolving kind of
art form, and I think, you know, it's like visual art. It's just, it's exciting.
There is also another note in the message here, Sonia, that says, congratulations for this wonderful initiative, the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival.
Thank you.
I think it is a great thing to have. Great opportunity to see so many things. Let's have a quick look through some of the activities. It starts on December the 2nd.
Yes.
Runs through to December the 9th. Now, one of the things you have got, and in fact, there's two of them that are interesting. You've got on the December the 4th, a student night.
Yeah.
And then on December the 9th, girls do jazz secondary schools concert.
Yeah. They're
sort of
exciting.
Follows on from what we've just been talking.
They're exciting initiatives. On the Tuesday night, we've got three girls' schools just coming to the club and playing in a club, discovering where the music happens, you know. In fact, in the past, we've had parents who've ditched their daughters and gone to, when it was Bennett's Lane, they used to ditch their daughters and go to Bennett's Lane on a date night on a Friday night because they said, how come we didn't know about this club? Very funny. It's about getting the girls out into the club and getting them to network with each other too, getting them to meet other girls from other schools and hang. And
see that there are other people doing this. It's not just your own school.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Generations in Jazz has been a huge influence on that, particularly in the last few years where more girls' schools are going, so that's exciting. The Girls Do Jazz Secondary Program is an initiative run by University of Melbourne VCA and Andrea Keller, where some secondary school girls who are enrolled in the program do some workshops with artists working in the industry. We had a chat, it was kind of late in the picture, but we had a chat about them actually doing their last workshop and concert in the club. And, you know, that's where you want it to be. You want it to be in the club. You want to feel how it feels to be in the club.
Exactly.
You know? And hopefully they go out and seek that kind of stuff too. Yeah. I have to say there's one thing that we've added to the program just in the last day, and it's still coming together and it's not on the website yet, but it will be. And that is that on the Saturday night after Harriet's CD launch, there's going to be a jam, an 11:30 jam and hang.
Wow.
And it's more about It's free. It's free entry to get in. It's more about, I'm really keen to encourage just female musicians in our general contemporary industry to come and hang and talk to other musicians. And, you know, so if we, it doesn't have to be that we're going to jam on Bye Bye Blackbird or something like that. It can be, you know, we can do an Aretha tune or whatever. It doesn't, it's all a bit fluid. But I think most important is the contact and the networking and just to talk and hang, because, you know, it's rare that you get to, unless it's specifically a female group, it's rare that you get to talk to other women on such an intense level for, you know, over such a one night kind of affair. So we really encourage anybody on the Saturday the 8th, if you're around anywhere in Brunswick near the Jazz Lab, just come down and hang. Doesn't matter what, whether you sing or whether you play or you don't have to play, just come down and hang out.
So let's have a quick look through some of the artists here. You've got Andrea Keller, the Composer's Circle.
Yep, yep. A recording. That's a live recording. Yep, that's with Ange Davis, James McLean, Sam Anning. I feel like I'm missing somebody. I think James McCauley's playing trombone.
He's indeed.
I've got overdrive in my brain from that program.
That's going to be a fantastic show, though. Go into that show recording, it's going to have a real buzz to it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, I have to say this, it's a bit of a tribute to Andrea doing Monday nights at the Jazz Lab. It's a nod to the late, great Alan Brown, who was a great supporter of women. And we used to, when Bennett's had two rooms, we used to traditionally have the Monday night in the small room with Andrea and Tamara Murphy and Alan. Just so that's a nod to that. And to Andrea's incredible and tireless work at promoting young artists and other artists in Melbourne, full stop, at Jazz Lab, at Uptown, at wherever.
You've got Bashka featuring Alicia Brooks.
Now, Alicia Brooks has disappeared from Australia for a long time. She was in Turkey for about a decade. I think we were roughly at BCA at the same time together. Really fantastic saxophonist. A really great example of an older established player who is suddenly back on the scene, and we're really excited to be, she's such a fantastic player, and it's exciting to have her back in Australia. So that's a real kind of, there's a bit of electronics and a bit of world music-y.
I'm looking at that at the
Turkish
moment.
Turkish instruments, yeah. It's a killer. We're co-presenting that with our great support of Melbourne Jazz Co-op.
Excellent. Electronic soundscapes, beats, loops, vocals, guitars, production.
It's out there, isn't it? It's great.
Beatboxing.
That I'm excited that Alicia's back in the country.
That's on the 2nd of December.
Yes, indeed.
And you've mentioned Jam Jar on the 6th of December with their brand new CD launch.
Yep, indeed.
And I might get one of the Jam Jar people to come in and have a chat, I think. Yep. I've got Harriet coming in next week to have a chat.
Oh, terrific.
We'll find out.
That's a great project too.
All about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we might even preview a track or two from her brand new album.
Exciting.
Before the launch. You've got Sandy Evans.
Yeah, we're co-presenting that at the Melbourne Recital Centre in the Salon.
That'll be beautiful.
Yeah, iconic.
This is, again, combining cultures.
Sandy's got a long history with Indian music. She, you know, is an intrinsic member in the past, particularly with the Australian Art Orchestra, has been involved in a lot of their tours to India. And, you know, she is just such a killer player. Like, you won't find her. You could go any, if you listen to Sandy, you could be anywhere in the world at any international jazz festival. She's just incredible and has been a beacon for decades.
We played a piece earlier in the evening, Bharavi Telana, from a Sound Travelers album of 2010, and that in itself had a touch of that Indian cross-cultural sound. It was beautiful to listen to. Yep. Who else have we got? We've got, well, we've mentioned Femme Belling launching a world premiere of her new group.
Conchairs, yep, we're really excited about that group.
Conchairs, is that how we pronounce it?
Yep,
excellent.
Hope so. Okay. Conchairs.
Well, look, I'm going to be pronouncing it like that, Sonia, so if I get it wrong.
Well, it reminds me of conscience, and I assume that is an underlying.
That actually does make sense. Yes. I hadn't put two and two together.
Yep.
You've got here Liuka.
Yes.
And a CD single launch. Girls Do Jazz VCA.
Liuka, the one, the partnering with Rolling Stock Studios. Miles Mumford has been fantastic there. We awarded a recording prize last year. They won that prize. They're three girls from Melbourne Polytechnic who are just making some exciting music, saxophone, drums and guitar, Katrina, Julia and Libby. And, you know, they're a really great example of a group that we were excited about and wanted to give an opportunity to help them get that next step to the next stage. Delighted to be premiering this single launch, thanks to Miles and Rolling Stock. And they are, incidentally, they're supporting us this year again with another recording prize.
Oh, and, wonderful.
You know, Miles has long been a supporter of our festival. We had a slightly larger budget last year, and we also managed to introduce a mentoring program for a female sound engineer last year.
Oh,
so
great.
We can't stretch it this year, but hopefully that will happen again next year.
And the last one I've on the list here is Marinda Dias-Jersinia.
Yes, an exciting singer from Brisbane playing with two Melbourne guys. And I think that program with Claire's Moving Targets, that's a double bill. That's really exciting, really groundbreaking Australian new work.
An amazing experience for the entire week. Most of the shows, as you said, are at the Jazz Lab
except
in
for Sandy.
Brunswick.
Yep.
Sandy's off at the Salon at the Melbourne Recital Centre.
And thanks to Michael and Jeremy at Jazz Lab again for their amazing support, and also Meg Evans, who does all our artwork. Festival, it's like, doesn't happen.
With a website that's easy to navigate and so useful.
Yes, thank you, Squarespace.
MWIJF.org is the website for the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival. Sonia is the chairperson and co-artistic director of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival, kicking off December 2, running till December 9. I think there's lots of great jazz happening there from women from Australia and overseas. It's just amazing. Yep. Thank you so much for organising that.
Thanks so much, David.
We've got something to listen to, which you tell me is a world premiere.
Yes, this is a world premiere. It's not been heard before. It is Liuka's single, Rajasthan. It's exciting.
It is indeed.
World premiere on Joy FM.
Sonia Holbelt.
Thanks for all your support, David.
A pleasure indeed. Thank you for dropping in.
Pleasure.
And we look forward to seeing more of the artists over coming weeks and the festival itself in
it's
December.
Exciting. Check it out.
Here is Liuka on Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.